Hallelujah. Blessed be thy name, O Father in heaven. We praise you. We thank you today, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness to our life, Father. Thou art truly worthy of praise, O Lord.
Amen.
Thou art truly worthy of praise.
Yes.
How great thou art, how great thou art. In all this that we see, Father, in this whole universe, your handiwork, Father, that span aeons of times, O Lord, and in this vast universe, Lord, that man could not comprehend, they are still searching, O Lord, how deep and how vast this universe is. They are searching for an answer, Lord, as to its origin. But we know, Father in heaven, thou art the gracious Yahweh that make it known to us in this very hour of time that we live in now, when the world is filled with corruption and evil, Lord, when people are lover of pleasure than lover of God, and we are so privileged, Father, that you have called us to this revelation of the living God, of the living Christ, Father. And the thing that you have done in the past ages, in the church ages, throughout all these last 2,000 years, and all those 4,000 years beyond that, Father, in history, how that you brought forth, O Lord, your revelation to your chosen people, Israel. And Lord, you have made all the promises, all the prophecy concerning Israel, and concerning the church, what would be at the end time. And we are privileged people, Lord, to see this revelation unfold before us of the soon coming of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and what would be taking place very soon, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for giving us this revelation of your great love and mercy and grace towards us, Lord, of the reality of the living God and living Christ in our heart. And without this, Father, we would not be here today, gathered together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to know that that there is a living God who loves us, that we are a part of the family of God, and by the redemption of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord Father, that you have reconciled us to you. We praise you, we bless you, O Lord. We can never thank you enough, Father. So much that thank you for in this life, Father. We thank you for this day that we have still a day to breathe, a day to enjoy life in God, in Christ Jesus, to know the reality of truth, Lord, of our being. We thank you. We bless you. Come in this time now, Father, as you approach thy word. Break it down. To see the kind of people that we are, Father. What we should be, what we should not be. And help us to be ready, Father, as we prepare and look forward to the coming of our Lord. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, may be seated. I want to talk a little bit about your life as a Christian. It is a known fact that many Christians, and I pray it's not going to be you, that we have two faces. One face when you come to church, the face that says, I'm a Christian. I act as a Christian. I'm so lovely. I'm a nice person, a godly person. But there is the other face that we are not in church, whether we are home or at work, the real face come out. We fight, we quarrel, we show our true character that's not supposed to be. This is a known fact. People will testify. If your friend will know you very well, or your family member in your own house know you well, or your servant or your maid or your colleague in your workplace who knows you well, who can tell it to you what kind of person you really are. You know, in this, what we call, well, sometimes we call it artifacty people, group of people who like to have drama. They like to have all this drama, you know, they play drama and all that in the art world. So, in this art world, you know how that there are some drama that played out in the Chinese drama, and I know, I remember that this guy came out with all the uniform and he has a certain face, and the next moment he moved his hand, there's another face came up and he came on changing his face. You remember how, you ever seen that? You know, and he has many faces. And you get a character like Guy Fawkes. Perhaps you may not know if there is a mask, the white mask, and he has a smiling guy character. You know, he has a moustache and a little billy goat beard. Yes, he always smiling. But behind that mask is a man who is seeking for revenge, for destruction. You know. So, I'm talking about today that you examine your life. Even I examine mine. That's the kind of people that we should be. The person that you should be. I'm thinking the subject from the book of Genesis chapter 19. Let's go to it. Here we are particularly looking at one particular character. And that character is Lot. But we want to compare Lot with his uncle, Abraham. So if we read from verse 18 down to 19, I don't want to spend too much time on dealing with detail, but when we look at chapter 18, you know that Abraham was called of God to come out of his family, kindred, from his hometown, out there in Mesopotamia. They were living under the Babylon, of course, empire at that time, and that's the place where it was. The Assyrian was up there, so all kinds of people were mixed up there, but there was a big empire then. So they were living in an empire where paganism thrived. So that's, you know, why when we read into the book of Genesis, after God came down to destroy the Tower of Babel, men were scattered. But we somebody know that when men scattered all over the world, this very soon, not very long after that, they lost the true worship of the one God. You get a leader that go out there with the truth. And after he died, all the others that believe in him, you get men raised up. And they will have their idea about what God is. And so, God began to, in all these people's minds, began to change. Now, if we will look into Christianity of our faith, we know that there is only one God. And yet, when the church started, not long after the church started, the Antichrist moved in and the churches started in 52-53 AD. And look, just a couple of few decades down the road, the church in Rome came up and started to meddle with God and say God is a Trinity. And you get the Trinity doctrine came up. So God had three faces. Instead of understanding that God is a spirit, they make God into three persons when God is not even a person. God is a spirit. So they came up with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're not only satisfied with that, they make a goddess out of God. So they make the mother of Jesus, Mary, become the mother of God. Now, we don't see that in the Bible. But yet, they create something out of it. And then what else? They create between heaven and hell, there is a purgatory. Where did that purgatory? So they came up with a lot of things that were not there. And then they worship the saints. This saint, that saints. They said prayer to the saints. Saints for traveling, saints for a good fortune. Just in Chinese, you have character, God of fortune, God of prosperity, God of health. And in India, you got 5 million gods. And you got all this kind of, where did the idea come from? The idea is not God's idea, it's not God that made this. Men are vain. Men wanted to have a God that they can see. So they create images. That's why we do not have an image in this room. And I don't believe in putting the image, even Hoffman Heads of Christ, in the church. You know. But people do that. So, in the region where Abraham, or Abraham, before he was Abraham, lived with all his with his family and his uncle, auntie, the knowledge of the one true God has actually gone to seed. Nothing. Practically nothing. The uncle, the father, and all this, they don't even know the one true God at all. They might have a vague idea. And that's why the story of the beginning of God doing a work to bring forth his revelation, to reveal himself once again to mankind. Why was the Tower of Babel destroyed? The Tower of Babel was in the land of in the plain of Shinar. Out there, what we know today as Iraq. That place, that tower was destroyed for the mere reason was that Nimrod had created a religion. And Nimrod's religion is still here in this earth today. You know Nimrod's religion? His father was Cush. His mother was Semiramis. When his father, when Nimrod died, his mother, or when his father died, I would say, he married his own mother, Semiramis. And when Nimrod died, Semiramis, his mother and wife as well, mother and wife, make him a god. Told the people that he had become God. And for you all know, if you study history, you know Semiramis represents who? It's Mary, the mother of God. Nimrod is Jesus Christ, the Son, and Cush is God. So that's why that religion was destroyed, because when they built the tower sky high, it's to prevent people from migrating. So when the people start to migrate away, they look back in the plain, far away they could see that tower, and they hold the people back to go there. God wanted the people to be scattered over the world and multiply and fill the earth. But Nimrod's religion holds the people back. But there were already some people, they already seen the, you know, the lies in the religion, and they have moved away from the plain, eastward. And that's why they migrate over to China. And China has 4,000 year history, you know that. So that God came down and destroyed that tower. Destroy that tower so that people would not understand each other, they couldn't build. So you just imagine the knowledge of the one true God actually was even completely gone. And God called Abraham and said, come out of your family, come out from that land, and I'll bring you to a place. And that place where I'll bring you will be yours. Wherever your feet touches it, it will be yours. So God took Abraham out. Abraham came with his wife. He had no children, no son, no daughter. He took all his whole household of servants, a couple of hundred people, I guess, came up with him. Maybe 100, 200, I don't know. But the caravan of camels and donkey and whatever you have, they have some sheep and all that, and left. And his nephew, Lot, loved the uncle. The uncle loved the nephew. So Lot said, can I come along with you? You know one thing, God never called anybody else except Abraham. So Abraham made his own choice. So Abraham said, okay, you come along. So Lot came with, you know, his wife and daughters and all that servant and household. So they went down. So all along the way for a few years, everything was fine, Danny, until of course it came to a time when Lot's servant and Abraham's servant, who look after the sheep out there, they have a little confrontation. And, well, you know, a little conflict that came up, become so troublesome. That Abraham had decided to give Lot the choice. Said, Lot, choose whatever you look out there. Look at this vast land. If you go north, I go south. If you go east, I go west. Choose, let you choose. I'll let you choose first. Look at the character of Abraham. The choice is given to his nephew. He never says, God coming, look, I'll choose first. No. Let you choose. And Lot was a man who, when we find out later, as we look at his character, he looked at the plain out there. Oh, every place was nice. But there was a place that was even greener because it was well watered by water, the river. So it's much more lush. And he looked towards the east and he saw that not only was nice and green and green pasture, but there were cities there. Now, it is a problem we have in the world today, in Africa, in India. People wanted to go to the city. They worked in the village, they worked down there in the farm, the young one generation, even in Japan today. You can see a lot of old folks out there in the farm, practically tilling the field. You hardly see a young man or young woman. They all wanted to go down to the city. Today, they want to go down to the city because the city is a commercial area. There is the IT, the electronic stuff, and all those entertainment. And that's what Lot was looking at. You know, he got all the news because while they're out there, they're caravan, they're traders that they trade with, and hear all the news about Sodom and Gomorrah out there, how beautiful the city is, and all the entertainments out there. He was not just looking at the pasture, he was looking at that city. So he won. Now, so while Lot and his wife and the whole family and all the household all went towards that area. Wow. Maybe they start off with camping outside the city, taking care of the sheep and the goats and the cattle. But by the time we read in the Bible what happened when the angel came to rescue them, they were in the city. A different story altogether now. But let us see what happened in chapter 18. Here in chapter 18, here we have the story where, a record, where Abraham and his wife was out there in Hebron. Hebron is on the west, opposite to Sodom and Gomorrah, which is on the east, below the Dead Sea. Of course, at that time, the Dead Sea was not like that. Okay, until Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Then you get all this brimstone, everything that came out from underneath, they can make it so salty and become a dead sea. Nothing survived in that salt lake. So here we have in verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1, that says, the Lord appeared to him in the plain of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abraham was relaxing, his wife was in the tent, and he was sitting under the tree, you know, in the heat of the day, noontime. And then he says that he lifted up his eyes, and behold, lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground. So he was sitting down on the tree, in the tent door, the tent picked them maybe under the tree, so he sat down there and saw the three men appear. And he got up and he ran towards them, and he said this in verse 3, I want you to observe. He says, my Lord, if now I have found great favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. My Lord, Now you see the word how it's written down in the Bible, how is it printed? With a capital L. My Lord, without an S. That means my Adonai. Adonai. Adonai is Yahweh coming down in the form of a man. And when he comes down in the form of a man, he becomes the blesser of the earth. He comes to bless the person. So he's called Adonai. Yahweh is the great I am that I am. Always will be. Because he is. He's the I am. Alright? So when he takes the form of a man to appear to anybody, and anybody who knows who he is, he will call him Adonai. Alright? Okay. So now, Abraham called him Adonai. Now there were three men. Obviously he's addressing only to one. You understand what I'm talking about? Alright, now when you have three men walking, if they are walking, they are not walking in line. Obviously. They're walking as three, forward. And the one in the center most likely go forward, ahead, study, where the other two might be just behind. So it's easy to recognize, but Abraham recognized him. How did Abraham know that that was Adonai? It was because God had appeared to him before. You know, he recognized him in that physical form. Do you understand? Alright? Nobody has seen God in his spiritual form. Alright? But he always get himself in the form that is visible, that he could see. You understand that? So, Abraham recognized him. So he called Adonai. So now, Abraham asked, request them, please do not just pass by. Take a little time and let me prepare you something to eat. So they sat down and Abraham called his wife, take some measure of flour, and you find that over in verse 6. Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine flour. Knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. So you see, that kept Sarah busy. And then at the same time, Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So he took a nice young little lamb, a calf, calf is just a word for a little, whether it's a lamb or is it a cow. It could be a young cow as to a little cow, or as to a lamb, not a sheep. So I had somebody to slaughter it, clean it. The wife baking the cake, the young man, the servant start roasting the lamb or the calf. And then he prepared milk and butter and put it before the three messengers or three men and have them eat. And remember, this is not kosher. Alright? I'm going to tell you, it's not kosher, huh? Because kosher, if this is prepared and give it to him after the law was given, that would be not be right. Okay? So, kosher hasn't existed yet. That's why people said Abraham was a Jew. But Abraham was not even a Jew yet. Because he can never be a Jew anyway, because he wasn't a Jew. It was only after the 12 tribes exist that Judah, the name Jew, came from the word Judah. Alright, and which is of course interchangeable with the whole family of Israel. And they are called Jews, or mainly called Israelites. Okay, but of course today we have a denomination, the Anglo-Saxon people and British Israelite people, and white people especially in England, America and Europe, they think that they are the true Israel. Alright, and those Jews in Israel, in the land of Israel today, they are the bastard. They are the one that killed Jesus. And this white man, not the one who killed Jesus. I need to tell you, every one of us killed Jesus. Because after all, he came, right, to die for you, isn't it? So it takes only one person to kill him, and that's enough. It's the whole system of the world. We are all in sin, that's why God, Christ came. So one way or another, we are all guilty. You know, that we demand somebody someone to die for us. You understand? If you are sentenced to death and some you want to say, I want to live, I want someone to die for me, take my place. If there is someone that the law could allow to take your place, that'd be fine. I don't think today's law allows that. Is that not true? Huh? If you are, you know, condemned to die by hanging, and someone wanting to die for you, I don't think the law will allow that. Right? Okay, so now when we see that which was led before the stranger, now it takes quite a while to bake the cake and also to roast the little animal. So maybe 2-3 hours have passed, so while the stranger ate it and all those three men ate it and began to talk to Abraham. Now notice what they said unto him in verse 9. Where is Sarah your wife? Now remember this, and I said on Friday, it doesn't mean that when God asks this question, he doesn't know where Sarah was. Now I always want to let you know that when you read the Bible, read it not like some supernatural book, everything happened like this and this like this. But there is a very fundamental natural relationship between God and us, between God and Abraham, and God and whoever he's talking to, and all the events that happened in the Bible. Like we said on Friday, how many of you have watched Ten Commandments by Cecil DeMille? How many of you have seen the Ten Commandments? You haven't seen the Ten Commandments. Who have not seen the Ten Commandments? You have not seen the Ten Commandments. Oh my. Go online, it's free. You can see it there online on YouTube. Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston. They want to act this very glorious. When they first saw came to Singapore, you know, it was a big thing. And especially when they make up him up, wow, fantastic. Moses, lift up the rod, look at his sunny hair, face, whoo. You know, we look at the Bible as if it's everything is so, so glorified. Obviously, the drama that is, you know, be paid on it. It's fantasy, a lot of time it's fantasy. You know, and especially the water parted into two. But, if you have seen the latest movie that this was shown last year, I think, Exodus. And I think that the storyline was, it's really bad. But there are some factual things that I couldn't believe when I see. I said, wow, is that the way it is? Now I was thinking, yeah, could be. And the more that I look at it, the reason in the Bible, and I realized that there is this element where the character, the Moses, the prophet, they are very human. You know, so in the movie, that commandment, Charles Heston came to the Red Sea, and he stand on the rock there, don't worry, God is going to take care of us, and he put up his hand and the water parted. But in this Exodus, Moses led 2-3 million people out from Egypt, and here came the Pharaoh behind with the chariot, and they are trapped. And he go down there, he don't know what to do. He just sat down there, he don't know what to do. He completely do not know what to do. And I said, compare that to what Saul has did. Was so different. And it is very true. Many times even like Brother Branham. And I realized also Brother Branham, when he went up to the pulpit after he preached, remember he watched that? And then after he finished and he prayed and he called for the prayer line. And I was waiting, the first time I saw it. And I was waiting. I said, what is he talking? Keep on talking, you know. For about 15 minutes he was talking. And he said, you know, I don't know whether he's coming or not to hear the... He's helpless. Very natural. He did say, after his sermon, he prayed, now call for prayer line. Everybody stand back, it's going to be done. Everything, God, the Holy Spirit is here, he's going to do it. He made him do it. No. You know. The Spirit of God is dealing with human. And even though God called Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he doesn't know how it's going to be done. So he just obeyed the voice of God, told the people, God is going to take you out of Egypt, the better land, come on. Of course, at first they disbelieve him. You know, but after they see the flame, okay, they follow him. You know, they follow him, they mumble. all the way up, they grumble. They always grumble. I mean, after all, they're human. You know, now I can answer, yeah, a bunch of Christians before, they're always grumbling this and that. And here we have Moses leading them. And then the people fall and they come to a dead, and now they're getting angry with Moses. We are trapped, we are trapped. You lead us out here to die. Moses, I don't know what to do too. You know, he complained on our loss and he just sat down there and he probably just talked to the Lord. What am I going to do? What now? What now? You know. And it was only even at night time, as the evening settled down, that the Lord told him to search for his hand. And the whole day in the night, the Egyptian was held back there. They wanted to find a way through. But God, by the pillar of fire, kept them back. And the people in the camp were all very agitated. Until the morning came, the water actually receded. So you must understand that the human, the element of human relation, the uncertainty, what to do now? Lord, you called me to do this, what to do now? You know, I remember the time when I was in Nigeria. Back in the first time when I went to Nigeria, I can never buy a ticket. I can tell you that you can never buy an air ticket from any travel agent. At that time, you don't have internet. You don't get what we call book online. Okay? Most airlines now, you can book online. But in those days, you go to a travel agent. My travel agent said, no, I cannot book this ticket for you because it's not in the system. You have to ask a friend who is in Nigeria to buy the ticket for you. So, well, I have to ask the brother over there who invited us to go to buy the ticket. And since the brother, whose name is Tunji, he works in the Nigerian airline. So he said, no problem, again. And I was thinking that it's December. But no problem. December! You know? And so, well, when we flew over to Nigeria, for Nigeria, we're supposed to get the ticket to go to Ghana. And then fly back to Nigeria. And then from Nigeria, we go down to Zambia and then back to Egypt. So he said, no problem here, Richard. So you know what? After we had the convention over in Nigeria, we went to the airport. We had no ticket. Went to the airport counter and there was a long queue of people at the counter. So Burton, you went behind the counter. And there was a staff doing all that, and he was not even a staff. He was just, I don't know what position he was holding in the airline company. So he went there behind, tick, pop, two boarding passes. One for me and one for Patrick. So, we said, wow. Fortunately, we don't have any baggage chicken. We only have our own, you know, we travel like. So we went over to the gate. That when we went to the gate, we were surprised. There were a whole lot of people at the gate. You know, and Brother Peter was thinking and says, look at this, it's impossible for us to go in. The plane cannot carry this many people. So, well, you know, I was shocked, I was wondering. So anyway, I saw three white men. One, they all stand by alone by themselves. I went to one of them and asked them, he said, sir, do you have a boarding pass for this flight? He raised his voice. Yes, we all have a boarding pass, but we are all not getting in. Huh? And I was saying, is that true? Yes, that's the system here. Goodness me. So I went back and I sit down there and says, no, we are in trouble. Because there was a whole long queue of African guy and woman already lining up. Even before the plane came, they're all lining up to go in. And now just imagine that they're all big guys. Tall big guys carrying bags and some with a woman with a basket on top of their head. You know, this plane, this is Africa. So, wow, I sat there and don't know what to do. And just praying, says, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We came here, we cannot get stranded here. I just sit on there praying. And here came a white woman. I think she's from America. She came and she was looking around and then she saw us because we're the two Chinese. And the rest were all the African, and the three white men is standing by themselves. So he came and sat together with us and started to talk and very cheerful. You know, so what you are doing here? Said, oh, we are here for convention, missionary work here. Oh, I'm a missionary too, she said. What's it like? And she was cheerful, talk to him. About 15 minutes later, Here came the announcement. Oh, the gate has been changed. Changed to the next gate. So you can see all those who are queuing up, right over to the other side. And the white man made a sarcastic remark. Oh, you don't have to stampede. No problem getting into the plane. Make all kind of remark. Then another, we sit down and talk. Another 5 minutes later, oh, so sorry. The gate is back to the original. So, they ran back. Yeah, I tell you now, we just sit down there. Okay. Well, we waited. Then the plane came. The moment the plane came, the woman started crying. She started crying. She knew that she would be stranded. You know, that Nigerian airline is already defunct, no more. Because it has been write off by ITA. So I sat there, and when the plane was already parked out there, people already start moving in. They already, you know, attendant was already taking the ticket, already going in. So I said, Lord, what do we do? Then, in about a minute, while all the people are filing in, you know, maybe about 10, 20 people are already walking in already. Here the announcement came, ladies and gentlemen, the flight number this and that is ready for boarding. Those on economy class, please take the door on your left. And for those who are business class and women, please take the door on your left. Okay, I heard that. I said, Lord, I know what you want me to do. I told the sister, I said, please stand up. Give me your passport. Give me your boarding pass. I took her boarding pass and I said, you stand here. I said, better you stand over to her that side and I stand on this side. So we hold her hand. She's an elderly woman. At that time she was about 50, late 50. So take up her hand, we are going on that door. So we took her, with three tickets in my hand, we walked onto the business class entrance. And the attendant was standing there, give it to him. We are all together. He took the ticket, looked at me. And we went in. So we went right in, the seat was almost filled. Somebody took my seat. I said, hey, you are taking my seat. And then somebody, another person, was pulling my shirt. You better take the seat as fast as you can. Then I realized it was a free for all. So I sat down and here was a couple. One man was quarreling with another man, shouting at you, you're sitting my wife. And the man said, I'm not wanting your wife. You know, they're sitting and quarreling. Oh man. So I sat down there. One person came in, no seat, sat at the steward. This is a woman. Another man came in, no seat. She went to the toilet and locked himself into the door. So all those that came in, no seat, they know they have to go out. The attendant said, go, out you go, and told the woman who was sitting on the steward seat, this is not the seat for you, please get up. She refused. Get up, you better go. No, then there was, behind the door, there was a little banging. You better come out of this toilet, or else I'm going to call a pilot. And this attendant couldn't do anything, went up, because he is not in control. The plane is in control by the captain. So the captain came marching in. Came right in. I can tell you can see his face was upset. It happened very often, I guess. He went at the back there, I was sitting in the middle there, and he was banging at the door, you better come out, or else a bash right in, I'm gonna kill you. Well, I guess the guy was very, very scared. So he came out and according to the aisle, I could see that he just kicked the man, he just kicked the passenger, get up. And then as he passed the woman which was sitting in front of me, he grabbed her hair and pull her like that. Wow! Just like her. Get up! And push her. Push her. Just keep on pushing her. Oh. Wow, we sat down there. Woo! Then a plane pulled up and I could see through the door those white men was looking. And look at them. I think they're up there thinking, what this Ching Chong Chang could get on board the plane? But it was God's grace. And when we got into Cairo, the same incident. And God always showed me. I just said, Lord, what can we do? We don't want to get stranded here. We sat there one night. They gave us free hotel. The next morning, he said, no, sorry, you're stranded. We're not. So, Lord, what are we going to do? And the Lord presented another occasion where a couple came into the counter. Told staff, you cannot let us get stranded here. It's your responsibility. I heard that. I took my two tickets. I go to the counter, yeah, make a lot of noise. You're right, that's right, they are right. We have no, you cannot keep us here. You know, we have to fly. So the guy looked at us, okay, you are flying. Then we went on Emirates. You know, that is the way we go. But you know, sometimes God presents certain things. If you call a person to do something, you have to expect to hear his voice. How he'll lead, how certain things present himself. So here right now is, why did these three men come along this direction in the plane of Mamre? Hebron is where Abraham was. Why must these three men pass by there? Why don't they just go straight to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Interesting, huh? Because God is always dealing with His chosen people. There will be situation when, that's why sometimes I say, if you hear a knock on your door, will you get up? Sometimes you say, who are this? Come on, go away, you're making a nuisance of yourself. No salesman or, but sometimes you never know, the one that knocked on the door might be a stranger to you. But as the Bible said, do not forget to entertain stranger. You might entertain an angel. You see? You know? So here was that God was dealing with Abraham as well. Yeah? He wanted to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy the place because of the cry of the people. So he passed by here and Abraham said, sit down. So and then God talked to him. So now he said, where is Abraham? Where is Sarah? Where is Sarah? You know, and Abraham said, he's in a tent. And he said, I will certainly return. Now this was spoken for the benefit of Sarah as well. Because Abraham already knew the promises of God. Now this was spoken long enough for Sarah in the tent to hear. So God said to Abraham, he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard him in the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, and they were stricken in age, and they were ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I wax old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. Now, remember that the Bible is presenting us to see. This is all recorded for our admonition, for our understanding, that God hears every word. Huh? Your unbelief, God hears it. So now, the Lord spoke loving now, says, next year this season of life, you won't have a child. Now the Bible said that Abraham was already old. Sarah was old. They were old. How old was Abraham now? 99 years old. How old was Sarah? 89 years old. Right? Yes, sir. Am I right? Come on. 75 and 65. It's only a 10 years difference. Huh? So they're already dried up. You see, when God gave the promise to Abraham, He called him at 75 years old. Sarah was 65 years old. At that time, they were still able to conceive because why? They could live 120 years old. And they were living 100 and almost. Abraham died at 178, I think. Alright? But now they were already past the menopause and everything now. At that time, when God called him 75 and Sarah was 65, they could still try every time to have a child. But now they came down to zero. Everything is dry up. No strength, no passion, nothing. Right? That's why she laughed. She was thinking about, am I still able to have pleasure with my husband? She was not thinking about having a child. You know, before that she was thinking of having a son. Remember? So much so they said to Abraham, take Hagar. But no, nothing. But God knew that she would say that. Of course, you know, knowing that because after all, Sarah was not a believer. Remember that. Sarah was not a believer. And I want to tell you this to all husbands, to all men. You are responsible for your house. Right? Isn't it? You understand that? You are responsible for your household. Your faith plays a very important part towards your wife, towards your son, towards your daughter. That's why it's so important. That's why God, when He came down, even though Eve sinned, Adam took her sin upon Himself, and God came down. God doesn't mean that God didn't know. God knew that Eve, what Eve did. But He didn't ask Eve, where are you? No. He looked for Adam, but he is the head. He was the head. Adam, where art thou? Right? So you know, see, Abraham's faith was there. And so God knew Abraham's faith. He knew what he would be. So he said this, well, in a very, well, sort of a merciful way, a graceful way, and said, what did Sarah love? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child? Which, of course, Sarah was not talking about a child. Huh? Right? Wasn't that right? He said, oh, we're talking about having sexual pleasure. Could I still have that pleasure? Of course, it is in that that you get a child when you come together. But so God said, of a surety, the word, can I bear a child? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, when God promised something to you, you believe it. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You see that? Then Sarah denied, saying, I love not, for she was afraid. And she said, nay, but thou did love. Yeah, when you love, and he said, no, I did not love. Because you're so afraid, you still know. God said, you love. So we cannot say anything. When we did something, we say, I didn't do it. God knows that you did it. You cannot say, I didn't do it. Yes, sir. If you go out there and scratch your neighbor's car because he makes so much noise, you scratch his car. Right? And of course, nobody knows, and you know. And somebody says, oh, you did it. You have any proof or not? I didn't do it. Because nobody sees it. But of course, if you tell that to the Lord, if the Lord put you in the house, say, you did it. Oh, yes, Lord. You can say, I didn't. So you see that son was so quick because he was afraid. You know, one thing about it is that being afraid is different from being reverence to God. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The word fear is not being afraid in a sense. Fear means a reverence to the Lord. Yeah, we are all afraid when we commit a sin, a crime. Right? But when God revealed to us, we must have a reverence to the Lord and repent so that God will take care of. So now the three men got up, and Abraham took them out there and says to lead them away. And then the two men left, and left standing there was Yahweh, Elohim. And God was just speaking to the other two before the left. He said, can I hide anything from Abraham? There's one thing I want you to look here. Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that which I do? See that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations on earth be blessed in him. For I know him, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. See the kind of person that God knew about Abraham. Do you understand what I'm saying? He knew Abraham, God knew the kind of person. He will be a person who will command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. You see, one thing about it is a lot of preachers are not doing what it should be done. My duty is to keep you in the way of the Lord. My duty is, what is the way of the Lord? The way of the Lord is this one. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Right? It is the word that keeps us. Be truthful to the word of the Lord. It's not to what this man said or what that man said. Just point the word to the way in the word. You know, there have been email coming in last few days. Someone asked me, but again, is it true that Brother Abraham said that God told him to use the KJV Bible only? I said, show me where he said that. It's very hard for God to have said that to Brother Abraham, just use a KJ Bible. What's so special with a KJ Bible? I don't think that he ever said that to him. It's very odd because it's just a translation. Remember what Brother Abraham said? Also, he said that, you know, it's not about words here, words there, Greek or Hebrew. Huh? Any Bible that you read, if you have the revelation, you know the truth. That's what it is. But people are spread all around. And then there are other questions that came in yesterday. They said, oh, is it true because this preacher is saying that the people who are out there, because they do not get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they never see the truth. I said, that's not true.
I wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ first. I knew the truth, then I get baptized. I said, what about Cornelius? Is that right? Or is it true that a person cannot get the Holy Spirit without being baptized in Jesus' name first? He says, no. What about Cornelius? Cornelius got the Holy Spirit, right, in the household, and then they go and get baptized. God can work in different ways. And then the guy, brother, was saying that, oh, the other preacher said, well, that's God's protocol. God's protocol. You know, God can do ways different that you don't think of. But the truth is the truth. When you have baptism in the Holy Spirit, you should see the truth. When you see the truth, then get baptized. You know. So it's important to keep the people in the way. So your father must keep the family in the way. Do justice and judgment. That is right. Alright? And the Lord said to Abraham, of course, you know, said the crowd of Sodom came up to me. And Abraham remember his nephew Lot going out there. He knew that he has gone into the sea. So he bargained. Well, if there's 100, will you destroy? What if there is so many? 80, 65, 60, 55, 50, 20. Please don't get angry, Lord. You know, Abraham was bargaining. Well, that's okay to bargain in the right way. Okay, but there are people who bargain the wrong way, like we see Lot did later. He's doing it in the wrong way. Abraham was concerned for righteousness. He was a man who was concerned for righteousness. Justice is there for him to deal with. That must be right according to God, righteous judgment, and so on. So he said, don't get angry, Lord. If I would ask for the last time, if there is 10, will you destroy it? God said, no, if there is 10. Now, the question came up in the when I was looking in the internet. You know, and this pops up in about Lot's. How many children has Lot? How many children has Lot? How many daughters has Lot? How many children? So one day, one I think it's a woman who was in the what we call Yahoo forum or something like that, saying that Lot has at least 8 children. All right, so including a husband and wife, 10. So that's why Abraham cannot go lower than 10. When he bargained with it. How did he arrive at it? Well, Lot and his wife, Lot has 2 daughters, so there's 4. Lot has 2 other daughters who's married to sons-in-law. Okay, so there's 6. Okay, and plus the son-in-law, so that's 8. And he has also 2 sons, at least 2 sons, because the word sons was mentioned when the angel was asking Lord. So, altogether 10. So, that kind of reasoning. Alright, some say that Lord has 4 daughters and perhaps sons. So, that's actually not true. Because the way the Bible is written, they do not know how to deal with it. But anyway, that was interesting. So, well, now in chapter 90. There came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Alright. Here you understand, here now we want to say this. Well, Lot was a man who followed the revelation of a man, but he himself do not have a revelation. Get it? God gave Abraham a revelation, because, you know, and so he found, uncle had a revelation that God talked to him and gave him a promise out there. So he followed Abraham, his uncle, who had a revelation, but he himself do not have a revelation. So he's identified with Abraham, but somewhere down the road, when problems started, he deviated. Now, this is the danger. In our life, there's always problem in the church. There will never be said there's no problem in the church. There will always be. But God is looking at you, how you deal with it. God came to the situation that because of the problem between his herdsmen, his servants and Abraham's servant, that he decided to go one direction away, you know, from Abraham. And he, instead of looking to the right place, he looked to the wrong place. See. So well, anyway, he was sitting there at the outside the gate. I wonder why he sat at the gate of Sodom. in order to get a certain place of business anyway. So apparently now that Lord, since he lives in a city, he has no more cattle and sheep anymore. And apparently his household, all because they were drawn by this city lifestyle, they became immersed in the city lifestyle. You know, servants and family all left, all on their own now. And he just sat on himself by at the gate. Perhaps he's waiting for a businessman to come to deal with some business. And the city was just, you know, coming evening time, because the two men left after having their meal at Abraham's home. They traveled maybe 2-3 hours down all the way to Sodom, walking all the way. And so the whole city of Sodom became a place of entertainment. As the night falls, there's always all this, you know, this theory going on, sodomy going on. You know. The whole city practically. And so, well, he set off there at the gate, perhaps away from that, or perhaps was waiting for a businessman to come to deal with business. We know he's become a businessman now. He's only interested in things in that city. And now what he said here. And he said, "Behold now, my lords." Now see how he addressed the word, "my lords." You see the spelling is different. Instead of "my lord," is "my lords." It's small letter L and S. It's Adon, not Adonai. Now, the word Adonai is always referring to, when the Hebrews speak of that, they speak of something, somebody majestic, somebody sovereign, somebody who has power. But Adonai always refer to Yahweh taking the form of a man when you address him, Adonai. But when but a man who is powerful, also rich man, well-to-do, man of a dignitary, they are always called Adon. You address him as Adon. You know. So apparently that here we see that Lord did not know who these two men were. He didn't know them until later. Then you see how he speaks. He didn't know. But he saw these two men came in dressed, you know, quite different from the people in the city. You know, and they showed that these people were great men. These two messengers were great men. Or stranger to him, rather. But so he befriend them, do not want to get themselves inside the city, because he know how wicked the citizens were in there. So he told them, "Okay, come to my house, stay the night." But the two men said, "No, we will just, you know, sleep on the outside." And Lord said, no, you do not know how terrible this place is. Come on, just get inside there and let me feed you and all that. Now God, it is not, a stranger would not just simply want to go to somebody's house and stay there, you know. But apparently, of course, the two men here, the two angels, is relating themselves to Lord, how Lord behaved. And what did the Bible call Lord? They call him a righteous Lord. Now he knew that the men out there, this city is bad. So he doesn't want to keep these two men away from the harm. So command them in. So they went in, they eat, and then, of course, they are about to go to bed. Here the news leak out, because not only Lord was the only one out there in the city, but there was at the gate, there were others. So the news spread all over the city, and after the men had the meal, about to get to bed, he came to knock on the door and shout outside, bring them out, that we may know them. That means to say that we may have sex with them. So Lord came out to the door and said, "Please don't do this sort of thing. You know, they are my guests. Take my two daughters. They are still virgin." Now, that question we asked on Friday, it sounds terrible. A father giving two of a daughter to men to be ravaged. Sounds terrible. Isn't it? Huh? But you see, the thing is that that's where the sacrifice is. Lord was righteous to keep, you know, when a guest is in your house, Do you know that you should protect your guests? A lot of people don't. In our society, I don't think so. We have a guest in the house, and everything happens, we protect our children. The guest is going to die. That's the problem. Do you know the court that your guest is important in the house? You invite him, how you should protect him. That's the court. Right? But we don't do it today, really. It's just a guest. My family comes first. My family comes first. And that's the problem. If you have somebody knocking on the door and you don't happen to know that he's an angel of the Lord, and you invite him and then somebody come in and want to do something, what do? You protect your guests or protect your family. The choice you have to make. After all, I don't know he was an angel. So God forgive me. You know, we have all sorts of ideas in our head. Huh? But sometimes when it comes to situation, I know it's very hard. But Lord has been in the city to know the wickedness of the people. So much so that he really wanted to protect this man because they were his guests. You know. So now, you know, those men rush at the door, want to get into the door, and the two angels came and pulled Lord in. And those that were standing at the door, the angel just smacked them blind. Here's a good doorway. You know, when you're blind, you cannot see. Right? And people who are blind to the truth can never enter the door because you don't know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. I'm the shepherd. I'm the door by which no man can enter the Father except through me. So I'm the way, the truth, I'm the door of the sheepfold. So you see one thing, that's why we need also to remember to know the truth. Because the truth will set us free. Right? Christ is the door. So how can you know the truth if you do not know, really know Christ? And that's what I'm saying a lot to the Roman Catholic people. You know? They know so much about Mary, and how do they know really about Jesus? But the Bible has only a few verses, I think maybe about five places Mary was mentioned. That's all. And yet they make so much hype about Mary, putting Mary above Jesus Christ. Because his mother is more tender hearted than Jesus. But they have forgotten. That's a lie. Because Mary did not die for you and me. Huh? Mary is not the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus, not mother of God. Because God do not have a mother. You see, the term herself is already contradictory. It's wrong. Right enough. True. You see, while we have all this strange doctrine coming in, people are blinded to it. So now, when this man spoke blind, and of course the angel was there, and the angel here now told, let's go and look over here in verse 12, chapter 19, verse 12. And the man, that is the angels, or we call them angels, we know who they are, but the Bible mentions this man, or the messengers, or the Bible calls men is in a way that they appear as men. The angel, when they always appear as men. Okay, and to Lot, it's just stranger to him. But then he knew them as Adonai. Adon means mighty man, men who are of great victory, and men who are powerful. Okay, so the man said unto Lot, now the man said to him, now from here I believe that Lot began to know after he see the power of this angel striking blind those people at the door. Okay, so now he has said to him, has you any beside anyone here? Have thou anyone besides son-in-law and thy son and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. Now, because this question was asked, it seems that to many people, they know all the Bible says that they're angels, so they know that Lord has sons and daughters. And no, it's not like that. You must not say, Adam, where are you? God doesn't know where Adam was. You know, it doesn't mean that. There needs to be a response. And the language is very casual. You know, very normal. You know. Have you any, besides all that is in this room, sons-in-law, son? Now, he said son-in-law, he didn't say sons-in-law. I think the translation perhaps is different. It should be a, you know, singular, plural, it doesn't matter, but because some places, plural. Now, do you have, besides you, anybody else? For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And Yahweh have sent us to destroy it. Lord went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. Now, which married his daughters? So, some people jump to the conclusion, oh, so now, Abraham, Lot had two other daughters, they were already married. And this Lord went out there to talk to his sons-in-law. Right? That's what people think. Right? It's very strange, isn't it? Why did not the Bible say he went out to seek his sons-in-law and daughters?
No.
Why not? Because these sons-in-law who married his daughters are the two daughters that were in the house. But how could it be they were virgin? Because they were virgin because they were espoused, but they were not yet married. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you make an engagement, you make a vow, okay, I'll marry you. Will you marry me? Okay, let's get engaged. In the eyes of God, your engagement is a reality. Even though you have not taken the marriage vow yet, you're still waiting for the time you set aside for the period for you to be married. So they are considered married, just as Joseph and Mary. But Joseph have not yet married Mary, but yet the Bible calls Joseph the husband of Mary. That's why Joseph, learning that Mary was pregnant, he said, I'm not going to marry her because she's pregnant. Somebody, she must have fornicated with some man. You know, so he wanted to put her away secretly so as not to, you know, smear her name. You see, and that's when the Spirit told her, to him, that which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. You see. Alright? And that's why after Mary, you know, married Joseph and gave birth to Jesus Christ, Joseph had other sons and daughters of his own, through Mary. But the culture says no. Mary is always a virgin. That's a lie. That's what is a lie. That's why we have all this teaching that are not true. Stay with the word of God. Don't stay with religion. Religion kills you. I don't have a religion. Okay, except this religion that is of the Word of God. The real religion, the original religion. When God really go back Adam to himself. Huh? Any other religion besides the religion that God put in the Bible is a lie. You see. So now, what we look at here. Lord went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married two daughters. Up, get you out of the house, this place now, for the Yahweh will destroy this city. But his seed has sworn that mock unto his sons-in-law. His two sons-in-law, I think that's very funny. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't take warning. Because of all, they live in a life of sin. You tell the world today that there's going to be a war coming. Oh, come on. You people are talking nonsense. Jesus Christ is coming back. Yeah, I heard that many years ago. Until now, I'm still hearing it. You Christians say that Jesus is coming back. Wait and see what happened in the next 1-2 years. And see what happened. Regarding the currency of America. Look at what happened in the Middle East. Putin, President Putin, is put in a place where he gets very upset. Every time you want to do something, America and European and England start to smear him. Now, Putin was a good man. He was a good man, you know. He was a very good man. In fact, he was doing the thing that Lee Kuan Yew was doing. That's why he said he won't follow Lee Kuan Yew. You know. But he comes up there. Oh, no. Maybe somebody assassinated him and somebody else took his place and then war would start. Because the Bible said it would happen. Russia will come down and fight against Israel in the Middle East. And it will be the World War III that will start. And many nations will be involved in it. And there's coming a great earthquake and California will sink. People laugh about it. People live in California and say, oh, it has been always earthquake here. you know. But nobody knows what's underneath the continental shelf of California. Or you call it a peninsula. Right? Would you not call it a peninsula? Being that it is just a land that chucks out like that. Do you know that when Brahma talks about something underneath it, something about honeycomb or something, he was saying about, I can't remember what he said, but when NASA went down, or those people who went down in the submarine, they were surprised to find that under the land of California, nothing but honeycomb. It's just a lot of holes in there. Not solid landmass. You know. And we know that land is going to sink. And not only that, earthquake will start from that. And then we see the whole world will be in big trouble. All over the world. All this will come suddenly. But some people don't think about it. Now we look at Mount Pinatubo, we look at Krakatoa in the past, we see all this earthquake, the reason happened in Japan as well, the tsunami, Aceh, it happens. But these are just the beginning of a lot of things that keep on coming. One day it will start up and it will just continue a day, a week, and continue down. And then the whole world will be shaking. The Bible says God is going to shake this whole world. And that which will not be shaken will not be shaken. It will stand. And that which will stand is the word of God. Your faith. You must remember. Huh? Do not be afraid to die. How many of you are afraid to die? If you are afraid to die, you'll lose your life. Right? Yes. Okay, so now. Well, now, the Bible in verse 15, say now, verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened, Lord, saying, arise, take your wife and thy daughter, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And why he lingered? Oh my, oh my, oh my. He lingered. You know, what's wrong with this Lord? He lingered. He had been living. No, he was following a man who had a revelation, but he had no revelation. At least if he were to follow Abraham for all the while, even though the problem, you know, don't tell his servant not to quarrel, you know, and just somewhere else to graze and follow Abraham, he would learn a whole lot. But no. He had an opportunity. Saint Mark said, I have a choice to choose all this land. Okay, I choose. Made the wrong choice. Lot was a righteous man, yes. He was. But once he kept away from, when he see what's out there, and turned away from the elder, the older one, the uncle, he went into a mixed up. He's so mixed up. Huh? His mind becomes so mixed up, and he wants the best of both worlds. Is that true? You know, how many of us Christians are like that? How many of you are like that? You want the best of both worlds. You want the Christian life, you want to be in heaven, and yet you want to be on this earthly life, enjoy all the pleasure and attainment. And then after a while, you know what happened? You slowly, slowly, from one side, you drift over to the other side. You know what? God did not forbid you to enjoy yourself. But your mind gets away from the sight of the Word of God and the truth. You can drift all very far away. Huh? Yes? See. So, that was Lord. Now, he lingered. And the man lay hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. So now, there are two angels, right? One of them grabbed his hand, and grabbed the wife's hand. Then the other one grabbed the hand of the daughter, and the other daughter, and pulled them out of the house, out of the city gate, out of the city, and leave them there, and told them. What did he tell them? It came to pass. When they have brought them forth abroad, that he said to them, escape for your life. Look not behind you. Neither stay thou in all the plain. In all the plain. Because that was the plain out there. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lord said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Now you see the word, my Lord? You see that word now? He recognized now who these people were. They were Adonai, means to say that they were angels sent by God. Not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in your sight, and thou hast magnified your mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee to, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, see, I have accepted thy concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste now, escape hither, for I cannot do all this thing, any this thing, till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun risen upon the earth when Lord entered into Zoar. Now, see what happened here is that here's a bargain. Here's a bargain. They got outside the city, and the angel was about to destroy the city with fire and brimstone. And here was Lord bargaining. No, don't let me run up to the mountain, you know, it's too far. Give all kinds of excuses that something happened to me. Look, there's another city there. The city of judges is called Bila. B-E-L-A in the Bible. But it's a little city, it becomes called Zoar. Zoar means little city. Little. So there's a little city here, you know. And that city Zoar is not far from Sodom and Gomorrah. Just perhaps, maybe 2 kilometers away or something. I don't know. Or 3, perhaps. So, we could go down. Now, that's here you have a man who is bargaining. I know, Lord, you have shown me mercy. And all this. Wow. He still wants to stay in the plain. He don't want to go up in the mountain. You know. So, well, as they ran towards the scene, you know what happened? The angel give him some time and make sure you go as far as you can. But don't look back. So they ran and they ran, and after a while, you know, the cedar small, got a smaller, were blown up, and fire and brimstone came down from heaven. Now, of course, while they were running, Mrs. Lot heard this boom. She said, wow, what's that? And I guess the daughter said, don't look back, Mom, don't look back. So now she turned around and looked back. I guess she cannot forget the Mahjong gang. You know, they're all called high society. What does high society people do? Businessmen. Businessmen is why? What the wife do? They probably go and play Mahjong and card games, or poker or something like that. Pass away their time. When she turned around and looked, the horror of a city being blown up and under fire. That shocked her. But she stayed petrified for too long. She watching for too long until that fire brings on the sword landed upon her and made her into a pillow of salt, covered by salt. But it was evening time, and you find that Lord was in the city. So the whole plain of it was destroyed. Now, concerning that kind of a person the Lord was, compare him to Abraham. One had the revelation, the other did not have a revelation. They are just followers. He was just a follower of Abraham who had the revelation. That's okay, you follow the man with the revelation, but learn to understand his revelation. Why he was willing to leave his homeland Abraham was a rich man also, you know that? You know? And he was a fighter. He was able to fight. He trained his servant to fight. I don't know what kind of martial art he had, but he was fighting. You remember how he fought against those kings? You know? But Lord went along. Yeah, he was thinking that he might learn, but along the way down the plain, out there, he saw those cities, and that's what took his attention. Now, as a Christian, now I don't know about you, but for me, when I became a Christian at age of about less than 12 years old, and after that when I went into secondary school the following year, you know, something happened because a word from the teacher spoke that causes me to say, okay, let me learn. And I got myself into trouble with learning what? Pop songs and the world, and get myself hooked onto Ricky Nelson, Elvis Presley, the Beatles, yeah, whatever they have, and the crescendo, whatever. You know, getting myself into the pop world for 2 years. All because somebody challenged, somebody said, you young people don't know how to sing. You all don't sing like good singers. Actually, we Chinese people are not good singers. Except that you sing Chinese song. Then you sound like Chinese. But the Filipino, they really can sing. You know? So, and I same thing to the Indian. They only go to sing those Indian song, you know? So, for 2 years, you see how it is? Something attract, something that take my mind off. And I went that direction. And I lost my direction until God called me back. And he used a sinner to call me back. Just like that. And once I came back, oh my, everything changed. All those songs gone. I waste all my wasted years. 2 years. Wasted years. Wasted years. Wasted life. You know. So what about you? Young one? Old one? Middle-aged one? You see? What direction? Where is your direction? Are you following the right direction? Lord followed Abraham to where Abraham was going. When see the Sodom and Gomorrah out there, turned himself away from Abraham and headed straight to that direction. And once he got himself out there, he got himself messed up, thinking that he can have the best of both worlds. And he comes to a place where he began to, well, become businessman, able to bargain. But he does not bargain like Abraham. He bargained just because he still wants to be in the plain. In that area. Zoar is not far from Sodom and Gomorrah. You see? That's the reason why Shinar, the plan of Shinar, where the Tower of Babel is. You got to flee away from there. And God destroyed it. Shinar today is Babylon out there, the Tower of Babel. And that's why the Bible says, come on, her, my people. Mystery Babylon is here on this earth. Roman Catholicism and all the daughters, Protestantism and every one of them, these are the daughters. And we have to flee away, far away, and head towards one place. Where is that place? Jerusalem. Shinar is out there in the plain, out there in Mesopotamia. Go towards Jerusalem and stay in the city of peace. Because why? There is a king in that city. And that king is the king of Salem, and that is none other than Christ Jesus. We have to flee from that traditions out there. Plain, no high places. So Lord doesn't want to go up in the mountain. Just go to a city, right? And, well, all the way you go to the city. And he stays there. Look at Lot. Is there any logical when he reasoned or bargained with this angel? Does he have any logical thinking? Is it logical for him to think like this, to bargain in such a way? Oh, I cannot run to the mountain of delights, and evil overtook me. What? God tells you to flee to the mountain, you flee to the mountain. I know the mountain you have to climb up, yes, run upwards. But you think that if God asks you to run and save yourself, don't think that he doesn't give you mercy and grace or time to get up there. Oh, Lord, I cannot reach up there. Some people overtook me, overtake me. Let me go to the city just nearby. What kind of thinking is that? Oh, no, but water baptism. We don't have to go into the water. You know, the preacher doesn't want to go to water. Huh? We don't have to go to water. Just give me a glass of water and sprinkle you in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's it. Simple. Logical thinking. When the Bible says baptism, baptism means immersion. Go into the water. Not sprinkling here, not pouring. And not in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in that name is where you have salvation. Father, Son, Holy Ghost are not Savior. Because they are not three persons. So you see, there's no logical thinking. People wanted to have a comfortable way. Make everything easy. When we come on Sunday to learn the Bible, our sister Jem was saying, in the letter to me, she said, I learned a lot. Even though I was a Catholic, I don't know anything. I came here, I learned a lot. Yeah, I go to church, a few short little sermon, and then go home. What do you go to Catholic church? Go to the Protestant church. How long do they preach to you? 40 minutes, half an hour, and everybody go home. Here, 1 hour and 30 minutes is the average time. We learn. When Paul was preaching, he preached until midnight until someone sitting on the window fell off and died. Huh? The guy must be sitting on that a long time, but Paul may be preaching 4 or 5 hours and listen, he enjoyed. And of course his title came away and boom, he went over. You know, but God, he raised him up from the dead. You know. Of course today we nobody preach 4 or 5 hours, except in the convention when I go to Philippines or India or even in Africa. Yes, we do. We have morning break 2 hours, afternoon 2 hours, and night 2 hours. You know. So, what kind of thinking is that now? So, we need to know God's voice. Okay? We need to know God's voice. Abraham knew God's voice. Lot finally knew that those two men was not just ordinary men. Because he seen what they have done. He said, my Lord, if I found favor in your sight, I found grace in your sight, you have seen me this and that, this and that. But please, please, stop bargaining. Whose will be done? Your will be done or God's will be done? Lord wants His will be done. Huh? Another thing, don't look back. Poor Mrs. Lord. It's very hard. Because you know you have a lot of friends in this world. Huh? You don't want your friend. Well, you know you want them to go to heaven, but if they don't accept the faith that you have, you tell them about Christ, they rejected it. So there's nothing you can do. But don't follow their ways. Don't look back from where you came. I left the denomination. I'm not going back there. Even though a foolish African man said that he dreamt that I was drunk and went back to the denomination. I said, that be the day. That be the day. Because I am not disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know, so later, 2 years later, he said, yeah, he was deceived. You know, so now, when Lord left Abraham, he went into a downward spiral, huh? Go down, 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 down. So if you ever get upset about certain things that happened to you, when Lord's servant and Abraham's servant have a problem, okay? So Lord decided to leave Abraham and went away. When he did that, he went to a spiral, downward spiral. He never again. He did come out. Huh? He from 100 to 0, he went down like this. Face the consequences. Face the fact that this life has a lot of ups and downs. But don't let something take your life and mess you up to now you went down into a spiral because You cannot overlook the fact of truth. You cannot forgive. Or because somebody did something wrong to you, that you cannot forgive. You see? So he went on to us. Not only that, Lot dragged his wife with him. He got his daughter in that mess. It's not that, you know, living in that city where I was, my father lived there, I lived there with my father, and engaged to men in the city. I don't know whether those two men that were supposed to be married them, are they homosexual or not? We do not know. Huh? You understand? So the Lord's problem dragged the whole family down. So that's one thing about, as I said, these parents, especially father or man, we are responsible. It changes the, you know, Lord's behavior, his mannerism changes, his attitude changes, so casual, argumentative. All right, in closing, let us read a few more verses in 2 Peter. Let's see what the Bible says. 2 Peter, verse 6 to 8. 2 Peter, verse chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. And turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, have making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lord, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You see? Lord desired to go into that place. When he goes into that place, every day he hears all those F letter, the S letter, the all the four letters. Except the one that began with the L. And you know what I'm talking about? Huh? That's all that he hear. Hear what this man said about how he enjoyed with that man and with that pig and the camel and all that stuff. All the things that you hear every day in the city vex his righteous soul till he spiral downward. That's why birds of the same feather flock together. You know what? You have a choice. That's why when John was young in primary school, secondary school, we told him, you have a choice to choose your friend. Don't go with the one that act like they are gangsters. They bring you to a place and do things that you don't want to do. You shouldn't be doing. You have a choice to say, no, I won't. You have a choice to say, I won't go. You all have a choice. Right? But Lord, make a mistake. You see. And he begs his own soul. Matthew chapter 13 verse 22. Here we have the parables of the sower. And in this parable, in verse 22, you see the seed that grow up. And verse 22 it says this. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hear the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Right? The thorns. Things of the world choke you. The riches, the fun, the entertainment, the pleasure. They keep on coming, entering. You know the people like, you know something about gambling? Gambling is just the same. So, I just play 20 cents. I think, I don't know whether the two digits is still in Singapore. You know, it's a GK, yeah? I don't know whether they still exist in Singapore, yeah. In those days, I think minimum is 20 cents or something like that. 20 cents. You bet. Two numbers. 10-4, something like that. So you win. Woo! I got $20. And you play again. After you keep playing, you lose. You lost. Now you lost more than you win. Then one day you got it again. You try again. So the temptation increases. And you risk higher stack. You see, this is the danger. It chokes you. Because we get a thrill out of gambling. The uncertainty. Right? It's just like you jumping off a plane with a parachute. Oh, just take the chance. Then you open up. Hey, it doesn't open. Then you are dead. You got a thrill. People like the adrenaline climbing mountains without ropes, without safety. You know, free climbing. Right? How many of you ride a roller coaster? How many of you never ride a roller coaster? How many of you never ride a roller coaster? Let me see. Never ride a roller coaster. You should try. But once you get on it, I can tell you the thrill of it. I remember Sister Tracy did that. When we went to Australia, that was the spiral one, you know. Oh, it looked very scary. And we went through it, the Zoe, okay, we came back, try. No. And I said, okay, try. She tried one time, she wanted to go back, and we went back 2-3 times. Because when you try, when you get it, it's true. You know what I mean? It's that thing. But of course, that is just a ride. But gambling or something like the pressure of things coming upon you, when on and on it comes, it bring you down. Alright, that's what happened. Okay, now, Luke 17. Two more verses of scripture. Luke 17. Now, the thing is, there is lots of example. Whatever he has gone through, is it relevant to us today? It's what, you know, do we learn from this example, these things that Lord went through? Do you learn something out of that, the kind of life that he lived? Compare that to Abraham. Luke 17. And he says here, of course, the day that we are living right now, the very age. Luke 17 verse 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lord, they eat, they drink, they drank, they bought, they sold, they plant, they built. For the same day the Lord went out of Sodom, he rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Right? And this is the day we live in. Buying, selling, Lord is just doing that as well. And then over in verse 32, very interesting word. This is the old one verse that has three words. Remember Lord's wife. You all know the shortest verse in the Bible? You should know the shortest verse. What is the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Huh? Jesus wept. And now you remember Lord's wife. I believe Jesus wept also because of Lord's wife. We start to look back, the entertainment, things like that. Huh? First John. Remember the voice of God in our life. To obey His voice, when you hear Him speak, trust God's voice enough. Okay? Whenever He said, whatever He said to do, we do it. 1 John 2 and verse 15 to 17. I have written you before. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. Okay, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember that. So let us do the will of God, but not do the will of God the way righteous Lot did it. You understand? Huh? God called him righteous Lot because he was righteous. But he went down to a life that is wasted. Huh? And dragged his family with him. May God help us all. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word. Bless the holy name, Father, Lord. Bless those who are here is on the video, and we ask for your grace, O Lord, to touch every heart. And that which we have learned, Father, we keep in our heart that we may not sin against thee. Help us, O Lord, guide us now, and let us be fully obedient to the voice of your Holy Spirit leading us, Father. And give us the faith that we deserve, Father, Lord, as we grow in this last day. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you bless now. Amen.